prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Friday, September 8th. Yeah, September 8th. It's going by so fast, Butch, 2023.
I know it is.
Howdy-hoo.
Well, how y'all doing today? I'm doing fine.
Good.
Doing really well. You know, so I have no complaints. I'm starting almost 76 years, so I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, I know. Did you have a birthday or something?
I really did. I try to forget them. And, you know, to tell you the truth, a lot of people did forget it yesterday, and it didn't bother me at all. It bothered people. They think, don't let it bother you. I just soon not even think about it. So just let it go. You know,
people forgot your
still
birthday?
Here. Yeah, can you believe that?
Who would do that?
I wouldn't have any
idea. You didn't remind everybody?
Well, I thought I did.
No, well, then those who forgot aren't very important, then, are they?
I'm very blessed. I really am. I truly went to the gym today with the trainer, and he about killed me, but I can still do it. And to me, that's a blessing.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So keep your brain sharp.
There you go. Well, do the best you can on that. Do the best
now,
you can.
Butch. Hey, well, let's go ahead and take a peek at gold and silver today in the New York spot price aftermarket. Come on, guys, bring it up here. We got gold holding steady. We had a high of 1933, came back. Right now we're at 1920. Silver was down 4 pennies at 2299. Platinum was down 16 at 900. And palladium was down 16 also at 1230. There was some pressure on the dollar earlier, but it's back up over 105, 105.08. So I'm going to say gold did extremely well today with that big of a, now that we're back up over 105. Crude oil was up 46 cents at 87.33, and the paper markets today. You do have the Dow up 75 points, S&P up 6, and the NASDAQ up 12, so really no big shakers there. European markets were positive, pretty much the same thing. You know, I just don't think they know what direction they want to go in. Asian markets, the Nikkei was down just a little over 1%. 10-year yield today, 4.258 on the 10-year yield. And, you know, my favorite to watch is natural gas, 2.61, up 1.25%. For the day. So, you know, there was, it's just, I don't know, Butch, it just seems, the markets are just strange. You know, just strange. You have the yuan, it's dropping. Chinese currencies, it's dropping toward a record low. You have other nations, their currencies are falling out of bed. We saw oil heading for a weekly gain for the week. We see gas prices are now jumping. But there is a G20 meeting going on. I don't know if everybody's waiting for that. But, you know, they do see risks to long-term growth from cascading crises. Well, no kidding, Sherlock, you know, like, who are these people? You know, they can't figure anything out, can they, Butch?
They haven't yet.
Yeah, I know. North Korea unveils first tactical nuclear-armed submarine. That's a scary headline. And U.S. retail workers are fed up and quitting at record rates. I saw today where let me see if I can pull this up real quick before we move on to other things. There was an offer from the auto workers, like an increase in pay for life. I'm just recalling from my reading of 10%, and basically they just laughed at it. So it's like nobody wants to work, and I don't blame them. Give them more money. You know, they need more money. The inflation is killing them, and they want more money. It's just, what do they do, though? What do they, you know, if you worked hard and you gave 110%, you usually could go anywhere, work anywhere, get whatever you wanted for a wage and so forth. So, you know, people are saying, hey, I want to work at home. I want this. I want that. And I don't know. It's a weird working climate that we're in, Butch.
But I remember being told when I was a young fella, you're not going to find a job with all the work picked out of it. I mean, that's not a job if there's no work to it. So I guess these people want where they just really don't have to work. They just show up when they want to and quit when they want to. It doesn't work that way, Mel. Not if you want to get ahead. But it doesn't just hurt the people that's doing this. It hurts businesses that are begging for help. It really does. When you always aim and people offer you jobs, that's getting pretty desperate.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It really is. But like other day you mentioned this, but one lady told me, said, I know you'll come to work. I mean, I thought, how sad is it whenever they hire people that don't want to come to work? Or they have all kinds of excuses. Now, I know people that's going through that personally, trying to find a personal caregiver. Oh, I didn't have enough money with a debit card to get gas morning. Oh, I'm trying to change apartments. Can't come in today. Now, let them know that's the day that they're supposed to be there. Yeah. And the people that are trying to help them find them can't find anybody else that qualifies. One of them got arrested on the way to work. Now, go figure. That's how sad it is for America's economy. And we're going to cover a couple more things on this nation's downside, I guess. And we're going to cover more in just a minute. We have foreigners now who don't want to come to the country because they're afraid of being mugged. And I'm serious about this. I don't share the story. So this is America today.
That's a good thing, though.
Well, it would be if they were illegals. Yeah. But they're not. They're tourists. They're not illegals. They wouldn't come visit and spend money. The illegals come here. They don't care if they're going to be mugged because they're going to mug anyway, a lot of people. So they're here. They're like that gentleman, fellow in Pennsylvania, killed somebody, he stabbed his girlfriend to death, and is loose now. He's illegal from Haiti. They can't find him yet. He's up next to Philadelphia somewhere, and he escaped. They can't find him yet. So, yeah,
Haiti's
yeah.
rough.
It is rough. Haiti is very rough. Very, very rough. But that's what I'm saying. The illegals don't care. If they come here, they're coming here to steal anyway, most of them. And I'm not pulling a punch on that. I'm feeling like it is. Some of them might want to come here and go to work, and that's great. But they'll do it legally. The ones coming here that come in illegal are here to get what they can as quick as can. And now they're going to get about $2,200 a month just for showing up, plus all the benefits, free health care and all that. That's more than the average Social Security recipient gets. I think the average Social Security check is $1,300 a month. I do believe it'd be hard to live on $1,300 a month today, don't you?
Yes.
So don't give me this crybaby stuff. Or we got to help them. We're going to discuss that a little bit too. I mean, New York mayor's really crying over this, and he's the one that wanted them. Poor little guy. But anyway, go ahead, Melody. I didn't mean to take over.
I know. Yeah. No. Yes, you did. They. I know. He's up there whining and crying everything about it. So, you know, they're all good and want to be all of this wonderful things to all the people. But the reality is when it comes home to roost and it does what they've been talking about for so many years and so forth, they don't like it. They don't like it. And but that's pretty much it. It's just very quiet in the financial markets. So I'm really not quite sure what everybody is waiting for. And again, everybody's, you know, been told that we're going to be heading into a recession, depression here. And here it was, GM offers 10% wage hike in contract talks, and the UAW calls it insulting. How do you like that?
Yes.
10%.
Yes.
I take a 10% increase.
That's more than I got this year. So, yeah.
And here's an interesting one. China buys 29 tons of gold in August, stretches buying spree to 10 months. China's appetite for gold remains insatiable as the nation's central bank added more of the precious metals to its foreign reserves for the 10th consecutive month. According to updated foreign reserve data, the People's Bank of China bought 29 tons of gold in August, lifting year-to-date purchases to 155 tons. Last month's data also was also the central bank's biggest purchases since December. The PBOC has been the leading central bank in the gold market, and its current buying spree has stretched or has matched its previous 10-month run that ended in September. Many analysts, yes, it's Friday, said that they expect China to continue to buy gold as it tries to strengthen the UN's international credibility to compete with the U.S. dollar. And so kind of interesting. Central banks are buying gold. And, you know, and if China's out there buying gold, just like I can remember, they do it to soybeans and everything else. They push the price down and then they come in and scoop it up. So, you know, if we're having a hard time getting out of 1900, maybe that could be a reason. But so it's kind of interesting. And there's other countries doing the same thing. So it's not like China's the only one. And there was another article about the drought conditions in Texas could raise beef prices.
Beef is going up already. I'll tell you that from working with beef a little bit. Beef is going through the roof.
Yeah. So, but they boast an estimated 4.3 million beef cows statewide. And so it has raised a lot of concerns for feeding practices. So no reason. Walmart is going to cut starting hourly pay for some workers in move. It says it will offer consistency in staffing. Okay. It's making adjustments to its pay scale that will mean some new store workers, like those fetching online orders, begin at a lower hourly pay rate than they would have a few months ago. And it actually became effective in July. Interesting. So, yep. So
a lot of stuff happening, and I'm not prophesying anything, but I do believe before the end of December, we're going to see food prices go much higher.
Yes.
I really do.
Wasn't it Walmart who was making the pharmacists offer retirement?
Mm-hmm. Or cut and pay, volunteer for it.
Yeah. So if Walmart's doing so great and this economy is doing so great, why are they trying to cut back?
With the election getting so close, Melody, and the primaries getting so close, who knows what could happen? Who knows
Agreed.
What could happen? This is the first time I can say in a long time that I'm actually a little bit nervous about this next coming year and the election. A little nervous about it. I truly am. Just have to wait and
Well,
see, but
what I do know and what's scary is I really don't believe the two that are leading will be the actual the nominees. I really don't believe that. And I know there's a lot of people, a lot of my good customers I talk to every day, they do believe that Trump will be president again. And if he is president again, that's because they want him to be president again.
That's true. We'll find out. soon, before you know it. I mean, here in already in September, but this time next year will be just a couple months away from election. What could happen over the next year? Only God knows for sure. I know people plan things and try to make things happen, but only God knows for sure what the future holds. But I'd say now it's not going to be good. I really don't believe so. I truly don't. But to show you how bad things... Go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask you what you got.
Well, I want to say, to show you how bad things are getting, now this is totally off track as far as economics, but I thought it was kind of... Well, I won't say I'm using, maybe a little bit. People rely on laxative so much, Melody. There aren't enough to go around. There aren't enough to go around. I mean, I wouldn't have dreamed this. A surge in demand from an aging population, I guess that's me, and the next generation from younger consumers has created shortages. Americans have developed a laxative habit. Surging demand is contributing to a shortage of polyethylene glycol 3350, generic name for laxatives like Miralax and Glycolex, gastroenterologist and supplier say. Consumers are noticing emptier shelves in drugstores across the country as a result. Gastrological and behavior experts point to an aging population and that most Americans don't consume enough fiber, which can lead to constipation. They also cite the lingering physical and psychological effects of the pandemic as a culprit behind customers or consumers' growing reliance on the products. People ate worse, exercised less, and experienced more anxiety during quarantine, doctors say, all which are major causes of bowel dysfunction. I will say this. I know this from experience. Physical work, physical exercise does help keep your bowels regular. If all you do is sit in a chair all day long, folks, you're going to stop up like a cork. I mean, you got to move. You got to exercise. Now, a surge in travel and hybrid work schedules are disrupting routines and meal times, like leading to irregularity. Though certain laxatives and supplements are safe to take regularly, health providers say growing overuse concerns them. It's a crazy thing that our collective bowel dysfunction problems have gotten so bad. They're literally running out of stool softeners, says Dr. George Pavlov. Who runs the Gastroenterology Associates of New Jersey. This is an interesting point. I mean, what can I say? Maybe Americans are full of it. I don't know. But anyway, we'll move on. But
I think, too, maybe other medications could cause it also.
Oh, they do. Yes, they do.
Antibiotics, and we're certainly a nation of medicated people. And I'd like to know where the laxatives are made at.
Probably China.
Well, we don't know, but it'd be interesting.
No, but I just would say probably 80% of the medicines are. Maybe they are, too.
Well, it'd be interesting. Because every time there's a shortage of something, I just don't believe it's shortage of consumption.
Maybe a shortage of supply?
It's not over-consuming it that makes the supply diminished. I mean, look at the baby food. Look at the baby formula. A lot of it was made in the U.S., but these factories are just, they were shut down for various reasons and so forth. So, you know, but we don't know what comes from China. We don't know what they're holding back.
No, we
plus
don't.
Plus you got all those cargo ships down at the Panama Canal that can't get through. We don't know what product is on that.
We don't.
No. There's lots and lots of reasons. I always question everything. So, you know, and I do think it's diet and lack of exercise, and that plays a really big part of being constipated too. But anyway.
See, I got time, I think, for this story. Toyota production grinds to a halt due to an IT failure. My question is, if something would happen to computers, 12 of 14 stores in Japan, 12 of 14 factories in Japan ground to halt because of IT failure, resulting in a daily production loss of approximately 13,000 cars. The problem, the car maker ran out of hard drive space. Now, what would happen, Melody, if the computers would shut down? What would literally happen if computers couldn't fix them? They'd all shut down. Not just here in America, but this is in Japan. I mean, around the world, 13,000 cars can be manufactured because of IT problems. We are totally dependent upon something that's so fragile and so easily manipulated. It's kind of scary, isn't it?
It certainly is.
You know, I mean, they can be hacked by anybody, and people can do it, and you can't get past it. I hear music. Go ahead, Melody.
I do, too. And so we're heading into our first break, and please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And if you ask me how I'm feeling, don't tell me you're too blind to see. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you, never gonna make you cry, never gonna say goodbye, never gonna tell a lie and hurt you, never gonna give you up.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. 1-800-375-4188 for Discount Gold and Silver Trading. Give us a call. And, of course, visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And like I said, it's been a little bit of a quiet week with the four-day work week. And so I think things are going to start popping. Things will be back to normal. A lot of people took this week off. A lot of kids went back to school this week. So a lot of focus has been elsewhere. And buckle up. Here we go, Butch.
Yes, we do. We're on the downhill quarter of the year now. So it's going to be fun. Can you believe that the next auto repossession wave could involve robots doing the work for banks? I mean, really, think about that. Robots repoing your cars. As more consumers default on credit card and the auto loan payments, financial strain intensifies. The Federal Reserve interest rate hiking campaign stands at two decades high, potentially leading to a surge in vehicle repossessions. The recent Moody report showed new credit card delinquencies hit 7.2% in the second quarter, up from 6.5% in the first quarter. As for new auto delinquencies, the rate topped 7.3% compared to 6.9% in the first quarter. Moody expects new credit card and auto loan delinquencies to continue rising materially through the rest of the year and top sometime in 2024 at 9 or 10%. The increase in delinquencies and defaults is symptomatic of the tough decisions that these households are having to make right now, whether they to pay their credit card bills, their rent, or buy groceries, Mark Zandi, chief economist at Moody Analytics, told the Washington Post. A weakened labor market and tapped out consumers, some of whom have $1,000 monthly auto payments. I cannot imagine that. And I know people do and more. I don't know why, but anyway, are finding it difficult to pay not just shelter costs, put food on the table, but service their car payments. We've outlined to readers in the last three quarters, massive wave of car repossessions and loan defaults to trigger an auto market disaster, cripple U.S. economy, and negative equity surges. Anyway, it goes on about all the things they've said is going to happen that's coming, it was falling in line right now. But Melody, I don't get it. Maybe I'm down to, I guess if I made $200,000 a year, $1,000 car payment wouldn't bother me. But for the average wage earner, how can they even fathom a $1,000 a month car payment?
Well, I saw an article earlier, delinquencies are rising, and so that is a thing that's coming. And I think you're right, with inflation, with the food continuing to rise, it's just going to be another whammy to the economy.
And I wonder if the Fed will raise rates again this next time around. We'll have to wait and see, I guess. It's interesting. I guess we'll know next month how much of a pay increase raise Social Security beneficiaries will receive also, won't we?
We should.
Yep. Now, this is a smack in the face. People who paid home insurance for years and years and years never had to use it. Well, home insurers cut natural disasters from policies as climate risks grow. Now, that's a slap in the face. Some of the largest insurance companies that say extreme weather has led them to end certain coverages, exclude natural disaster protections, and raise premiums. So what's insured? Fire? What are you insuring? If it ain't, it's not floods or storms or hurricanes, what are you covering? In the aftermath of extreme weather events, major insurance increasingly no longer offering coverage that homeowners in areas vulnerable to those disasters need most. At least five large U.S. property insurers, including Allstate, American Family, Nationwide, Erie Insurance Group, and Berkshire Hathaway, have told regulators that extreme weather patterns caused by climate change have led them to stop writing coverages in some regions, exclude protections from various weather events, and raise monthly premiums and deductibles. Wow! Talk about smacking somebody in the head when all they're trying to do is keep their head above water. Major insurers say they will cut out damage caused by hurricanes, wind and hail from policies and underwriting property along coastlines and in wildfire country, according to a voluntary survey conducted by National Association of Insurance Commissioners, a group of state officials who regulate rates and policy forms. Insurance providers are also more willing to drop existing policies in some locales as they become more vulnerable to natural disasters. Most home insurance coverages are annual terms, so providers are not bound to them for more than 1 year. That means individuals and families in places once considered safe from natural catastrophes could lose crucial insurance protections while their natural disaster exposure expands or intensifies as the global temperatures rise. But blame it everything on this so-called climate change. And I have an article later on in this fact, we get to it, that this has been one of the coolest summers on record worldwide. I'm not making it up. I'm going to prove it to you. So anyway, but Melody, that's smacking people in the face who buy home insurance to try to protect their biggest investment in their life. And now they're going to cut it off because they live in a place where it might get a flood or a hurricane or something. After all the years of insurance, and they paid the premiums for 30, 40 years or longer, don't cut them off. There's something wrong with that, isn't there?
Yeah, it is. And I'll tell you what, the prices are just ridiculous.
Yes, they are.
I mean, they just keep, I mean, it's, and you're right. The people are, well, we talked about not too long ago, you brought it up on this program, where people are not paying their homeowners insurance anymore because it's just not affordable. And you're right. Basically, all it covers is fire anymore, fire and liability. And when was the last time you hear about people having liability claims?
That's
very few. Very few of us are ever sued. So,
fires either. So, yeah, I mean, it's a gamble for sure. But if you can't afford to pay it, it's not a gamble, is it?
Right.
You can't do anything about it.
Nope.
Sad. This next article is by Michael Snyder. I've only got pieces of it. It's a little bit longer than this. I'm just going to share some of it. Give an idea, this is how bad things have become in America. And this really, really, really is a sad story to listen to. I grew up, Melody, in a country that in my lifetime has changed so much in so many different directions that if I would have passed away in the 50s and 60s and woke up in the 20s, 2000s, I wouldn't recognize this country for a lot of reasons. Oh, well, I couldn't believe in the same country. But this society is falling apart, literally falling apart. Can you imagine what tourists must think when they come to this country? They spend a lot of money to fly all the way over here. They're hoping to have amazing experiences that they will always remember. But instead, they quickly realize that the cities that they have come to see are rapidly degenerating. Today, our major cities are filthy. They're teeming with predators, and violent crime is completely out of control. Let me give an example of what I'm talking about. New York City is the financial capital of the world, and millions of tourists still visit each year. But now the Big Apple has such an enormous rat problem, the rat tourism is fast becoming a boom industry. As the city grapples with a major rat problem, sightings doubled last year, prompting the mayor to advertise for a somewhat bloodthirsty head rat catcher in December, the rodent issue, according to some, New York's latest must-experience trend. As visitors to New York demand rat action, some of the city's tour guides have started to add stops in the touristy infested sites in New York Post report this week. Now, how sad is that? That's as bad as a doom loop in San Francisco. It means that rat tourism is fast becoming a boom industry.
Wow.
Melody, that is really something. That is such a shame and disgrace. One study concluded that there are about 3 million rats in New York City today. And with each passing day, the population grows even larger. The East Coast may have rats, but if you want to really have an experience with the crime wave that's sweeping across America, the best place to do that is in the West Coast. Some tourists from Malta recently found that out the hard way. When they visited a beach in the San Francisco area, they had all their possessions stolen from their vehicles within 10 minutes. Just 10 minutes. Numerous groups of tourists visiting a beach in San Francisco had all their belongings stolen from their cars, including their passports, while at the ocean for just minutes. On the second day in San Francisco, a group of tourists from Malta contemplating cutting their trip short and returning to Europe after a brazen smash and grab that occurred in broad daylight were within a mere 10-minute window. Another group from Europe was also able to top that. They had all their possessions stolen from their vehicle within 5 minutes. At the same time, another European family enjoying a day by the ocean fell prey to a car break-in. And turn the page here. Shocking footage captured by Maddie Lopez on Instagram is shared by journalist RCT Pacquiao, who documents robbery victims, revealed the car trunk vandalized with shattered glass scattered across the ground. The man recording the video questioned the tourist, "So what happened? You went to the beach for 5 minutes?" Response is disheartening. They took everything we had, passports, cameras, phones, iPads, laptops, luggage, and everything. Whether we like it or not, this is our country now.
Nope.
That is a sad, sad statement, Melody. Mm. A very sad statement on the condition of America today. You know, I'm really thankful I live where I live, in a very rural state. Out in the woods by myself, so to speak. I don't mean that we know crime here. We do. But it's not like living in a city where there's millions of people crawling on top of each other, if you follow what I'm saying.
Absolutely, I do.
You know, our state is very... It's a large state. It's just a lot of mountains. If we flattened out, we'd probably be at least as big as Montana if we were flattened out. But we don't have a million and a half people in the whole state. That's fine with me. I'm not anti-people, but it's okay. We're not crowded. And I like having a neighborhood where you feel fairly safe and neighbors watch out for each other. Literally. And they are armed. And then we use them. And the thieves know it. So we're kind of left alone here. But anyway, that just breaks my heart. I see people come over here from other countries, hearing how America is, all its wonderful blessing, material blessings and freedoms, and then get the car robbed in 5 minutes. That's really sad. Mm. Now, Venezuela is going to bring another handshake, I guess, with the China. Maduro regime seeks Chinese money to refurbish rundown oil industry. Now, that's on our border, more or less, Melody. That's just a few miles south of us. It's not on the other side of the world. The socialist Maduro regime sent a delegation to China seeking investments to reactivate and boost Venezuela's rundown oil industry, according to a report published by Bloomberg on Tuesday. The report, which cites two sources with direct knowledge of the matter, states that the pursuit of Chinese funds is part of the Socialist dictator Nicolas Maduro's efforts to revive the nation's crumbling economy ahead of a next year's free and fair presidential election. Maduro will seek to be reelected for the third six-year president's term after climbing to power through a sham presidential election in 2018. But the thing that concerned me is, if China gives them money, China's going to own the country. That's what it boils down to.
Yes.
And that's on our southern border, so to speak. Any comments?
No, sir.
I mean, that's a concern of some, don't you think?
Well, absolutely it should. And you know what? Venezuela has really been out in the news, and it's been really quiet. And again, that's all most likely by design, because you have this administration that really can't keep up with what's happening all around the world. They just are focused on one thing. That's climate change. That's all they care about. And Ukraine.
That's it.
And Ukraine.
And killing Donald Trump off. That's all it boils down to.
That's all they care about.
But, you know, it wasn't all that many years ago when Americans were respected everywhere they went. And that includes Venezuela and other South American nations. We were respected. They look forward to this come down. We spend the money there. Our nation was respected. That's changed easily in the last 50 years, maybe less. It's changed that quickly. Any comments on that?
No, sir.
Now, this next article is just so callous of these people to say this, and so uncaring. I don't know what word to use. U.S. officials keep boasting about how much the Ukraine war serves U.S. interest. And of course it does. Folks, we started the war. I say we, us in the U.K., but America was a leader in this. One of the most glaring plot holes in official mainstream narrative on Ukraine is the way U.S. officials keep openly boasting that this supposedly unprovoked war with the U.S., which the U.S. is only backing out of the goodness of their heart, just so happens to serve U.S. interests tremendously. In a recent article for the Connecticut Post, Senator Richard Blumenthal assured Americans that we're getting our money's worth on our Ukraine investment. Listen how this is worded, Melody. For less than 3% of our nation's military budget, we've enabled Ukraine to degrade Russia's military strength by half, writes Blumenthal. We've united NATO and called the Chinese to rethink their invasion plans for Taiwan. Oh, boy, get over that. We've helped restore faith and confidence in American leadership, moral and military. All without a single American servicewoman or man injured or lost, without any diversion or misappropriation of American aid. As anti-war Dave DeCamp recently observed, this type of investment talk about Ukraine has been getting more common. Last weekend, Senator Mitt Romney called the war the best national defense spending I think we've ever done. We're losing no lives in Ukraine. Ukrainians are fighting heroically against Russia, Romney said. We're diminishing and devastating the Russian military for a very small amount of money. A weakened Russia is a good thing. Last month, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell argued that Americans should support the U.S. government's proxy war warfare in Ukraine because we haven't lost a single American in this war, adding that our spending is helping to employ Americans in military-industrial complex. Make more bullets, spend more money, and we ain't lost anybody. Keep funding it. Folks, that is it. That's a mindset of your leadership, Republicans and Democrats both.
Yep.
Most of the money that we spent related to Ukraine is actually spent in the U.S. Replenishing weapons, more modern weapons, McConnell said. So it's actually employing people here and improving our own military for what may lie ahead. Melody, how callous and selfish can that be? We're using Ukraine as a pawn, for our own good, to weaken Russia, to create jobs, to build more weapons, and it's all good because America's going to benefit from it. There is no heart in that article at all, is there?
None whatsoever.
That absolutely makes me so angry. And McConnell's Republican. Of course, he blanks out once in a while. But anyway, we're hearing the Blumenthal, and these people are supposed to be leaders. They're the most callous people in the world that can say, well, that doesn't cost us any lives. Let somebody else die for us. The Bible says in Proverbs, those that hate God love death.
Well, you know, Secretary of State Blinken announced, I think it was it on Wednesday, maybe, that the D.C. was sending over $1 billion in additional aid.
Yeah. Yes.
Ten more stuff. I hear the music, so we'll be right back.
Going down to take a look at me. Come on, baby. Don't say baby. I've got to know if your sweet love is going to save me. We may lose and we may win, but we will never be here again. So open up.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinions and news, real news. News you don't hear anywhere else.
And I think we could add in commentary that they don't normally hear anywhere else also.
That's very true. That's very, very true. I don't hear it anywhere.
Matter. I don't either. We try to get to the heart of the matter and lay it out like it really is. Not like they want the sound. Just like this last article we did with McConnell and Blumenthal and all them. No. That sounds good. But when you cut it open, it stinks. That's America today.
Yep.
CNN exclusive. How am I in the war? New Musk biography offers fresh details about the billionaire's Ukraine dilemma. Elon Musk secretly orders engineers to turn off his company's Starlink satellite communication network near the Crimea coast last year to disrupt Ukrainian sneak attack on the Russian naval fleet. According to an excerpt adapted by Walter Isaacson's new biography of the eccentric billionaire titled Elon Musk, Ukrainian submarine drones strapped with explosives approached the Russian fleet. They lost connectivity and washed ashore harmlessly, Isaacson writes. Musk's decision with what's left Ukrainian officials begging him to turn the satellites back on was driven by an acute fear that Russia would respond to Ukrainian attack on Crimea with nuclear weapons, a fear driven home by Musk's conversation with senior Russian officials, according to Isaacson, whose new book is set to be released by Smith & Schuster on September 12th. So, there you go. They needed computers and Musk's Starlink in order to wage war. They cut off the computer. They can't wage war. Maybe we should collapse all computers in the world. Maybe we have peace for a little bit.
Maybe. Maybe. Yeah. I mean, people wouldn't be so distracted and, you know, they'd start thinking.
Have you ever talked to somebody on a cell phone and you can tell they're not paying attention to you?
Absolutely.
That really burns me. And I got to say more, I just shut up or I leave. And I don't say anything. If I get up and walk away, I don't tell them I'm walking away. If they're not interested enough in me listening to what I'm saying, why should I sit there and waste time even trying to talk to them?
Agreed.
So that's what I do. And to me, that is one of the rudest things that I've ever seen happening. And I see it happening all the time now. Not necessarily with me, but other people. But it's happened to me also.
I know it's very frustrating. You'll be talking to somebody, and then all of a sudden they're talking to somebody else and, you know, so forth and whatnot. And it's like, yeah, okay, let's finish this conversation first.
Yeah, after a couple times doing that, I just shut up and become very quiet, or I just get up and walk away. And I don't feel a bit condemned for doing that either, not even a little bit. Now, this is a story that we're seeing on the news, and I don't feel sorry for Mr. Eric Adams in the least. Migrant crisis will destroy, New York City mayor says. All Melody. He wanted them, we sent them, and he doesn't want them anymore. Now, how do you feel about that?
It's actually kind of funny.
It is kind of funny. New York Mayor, City Mayor Eric Adams, said Wednesday the migrant crisis will destroy the city. He reiterated his call for more state and federal help to address soaring numbers. And again, I ask this question. I understand city funds are tight and they want state and federal help. But who pays for all that help? I guess it's hard to hear people say, well, it's coming from the federal government. Or where did they get it?
Yep.
This issue would destroy New York City. Destroy New York City. We're getting 10,000 migrants a month. Now again, people from all over the globe have made their minds up that they're going to come through the southern part of the border and come to New York City. Adams said at a town hall meeting Wednesday evening. Adams has repeatedly called on the Biden administration and the new New York State government to help the city navigate the migrant crisis. His office said Wednesday that more than 110,000 asylum seekers have arrived in the city since spring of 2022. New York City has already received about $140 million in federal funding for shelters, which is more than any other city not on the southern border. The White House told New York City Governor Kathy Hochul it cannot send more federal assistance to the state, blaming congressional hurdles for their inability. Well, all I can say is, baby doll, y'all asked for it. Enjoy it. Or how about this? How about joining us and helping us close the border? How about joining other states like Texas, and let's get mad enough to tell Biden to close and we'll do it ourselves? How's that for an idea? Melody, how would that go over? I mean, wouldn't it be something if the states were actually standing up for themselves again?
Well, I actually read where they're going to try to bust them back.
Bust them back across the border while you're at it.
Well, they should go a little bit further, but no, they were just talking about Texas. They're talking about the other side of the border. They were just talking, sending them back to where they came. And I was like, okay, you want them here, and that's how you treat them?
Exactly. How rude.
You know, this administration or any of these guys, they, you know, all the way these people are being treated, sleeping on the streets. Yeah, a lot of them have hotel rooms. A lot of them get food. A lot of them are sleeping on the streets and in airports and everywhere else. What kind of treatment? What kind of humane treatment is that?
It's not.
But yet when Trump had them separated with beds and blankets, he got accused of having them in cages. Well, I think I'd rather be in a cage that they called than living on the street in the trash and the rats.
This is very
true. So where's the humane treatment? But nobody talks about that.
It's because they're Democrats. We can't put down Democrats.
The kids are going to school now.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
We're paying for it.
Yep.
This next article I want to remake commentary on. I know this has been stopped right now, but judge orders Texas to remove floating border barrier. Abbott appeals ruling, and I think as of right now, the ruling that he has won so far. But anyway, a federal judge in the Western District of Texas or the state of Texas to remove the floating border barriers put in place in July. Governor Greg Abbott announced he's appealing the ruling. Now, read that first part of that again. A federal judge in Texas said, take it down. U.S. District Court Judge David Ezra ordered the state of Texas to remove the sections of floating border buoys from Rio Grande placed in July near Eagle Pass, Texas. The judge ordered the removal by September 15th. Governor Abbott quickly responded, saying he would appeal the decision to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. Today's court decision merely prolonged President Biden's willful refusal to acknowledge that Texas is rightfully stepping up to do the job that he should have been doing all along, the Texas governor said in a written statement. The ruling is incorrect and will be overturned on appeal. Well, let's hope that it is. I think they did have it, right, as of right now, stopped. But this is not a matter of what the federal judge says. This is a state issue. Texas is trying to protect its borders and its citizens. The feds can take a hike. I know back in 1861, that was a big statement and got everybody in a mess for a while. But there's no choice, Melody. If we don't defend our own homes because somebody up the road says we can't, there's not much coming to us, is there?
No.
I mean, this is common sense, and Butch Paul can figure this out even. The governor of Texas, he said he has a duty to do this. It's his job to take care of this. No matter what the federal judges say, whether it be in Texas or the Fifth Circuit or in Washington, D.C., in the Supreme Court, the governor has responsibility to his people and his citizens. And if he has put his Texas guard on the border and even the northern border to keep the feds out, then so be it. It's time for one of these states to say, enough is enough. We're not backing up anymore. This is it, boys. We don't want to fight, but you're doing it. We're not. We're not going to back up any further. Is that fair, Melody?
That's, you know, he's doing what he's doing. And it's more than what anybody else is doing.
That's very true.
Where's the Republic? Where's the outrage of the Republicans anymore? They barely cover the border anymore.
Oh, they don't even talk about it. No.
They don't even talk about it.
No. This may be something along those lines to be concerned about, too. We all know that Biden just hired 87,000 new IRS agents. Why is the IRS buying 40 caliber submachine guns with silencers on them? To collect taxes, I bet. The weaponization and militarization of the federal government continues to unabated as Congress and the states sit back and do nothing. When the corporate media asked the IRS why it needed automatic weapons, millions of rounds of ammunition, heavily armed staffers trained in the use of deadly force, they said it was for administrative reasons. Oh, my. But we now know that the globalists are just arming the IRS along with just about every other federal agency. They're militarizing these agencies to the hilt with military-grade weapons not available to American citizens. Why, for instance, would the IRS need armored vehicles, flashbang grenades loaded with tear gas, and 40-caliber submachine guns? The IRS has been arming up for the last 10 years. At the end of 2017, the IRS had 4,487 firearms and 5,062,006 rounds of ammunition in its weapons cache, according to an August 8, 2022 Forbes article. You can bet they've got a lot more than that stored up 6 years later in 2023. This is an excerpt from the Forbes article. The Schumer Mansion tax bill, known as the Inflation Reduction Act, which passed the Senate on Sunday, raises taxes and will give IRS billions to go into what the Wall Street Journal called beast mode. What an interesting way to put that, Melody. Beast mode. Isn't that interesting?
It is. It is. The beast.
Gee. I got time for one more, then I'll get to a good news article. You loot, we shoot. Florida governor doubles down on right for people to protect their property. God bless him for that. People have a right to defend their property. This part of Florida, you got a lot of advocates and proponents of the Second Amendment, and I've seen this. And I've seen signs in different people's yards in the past over the last three disasters. And I want to say it's probably here. You loot, we shoot. You never know what's behind that door if you go break somebody's house and you're trying to loot. These are people that are going to be able to defend themselves and their families. Governor DeSantis told reporters, God bless him for saying that. Good for him. And fact check, this is not the hottest summer on earth. An article in Barron's about rising food prices made the claim on Wednesday morning. CNN's headline predicting the world has just experienced the hottest summer on record by a significant margin. Verdict, misleading compared with most of the Earth's history, the summer is unusually cold. The record referred to is kept by the United Nations World Meteorological Organization and European Climate Service Copernicus. It goes back to only to 1940. So this is one of the coldest summers on record, and it was here in the hills also for a while. Okay, Melody, I'm going to try to squeeze in a good news report here.
Okay. It was chilly up through June.
It was. It was not the hottest summer on record. That's all lie.
No, it started getting warm and really at the end of June and into July.
It did.
I think our July 4th wasn't that warm.
And by the way, scientists in Israel have created a human entity that has no mother or father. And you have to look it up for yourself every time I threw that.
They made a human
entity that has no mother or father. No egg, no sperm. But yet it's growing.
In a lab.
Yep, in a lab. Dog reportedly escapes shelter, sneaks into nursing home. Do we choose our pets or do they choose us? Well, I can say that the last pup we got and still have, he kind of chose us. The staff at Meadowbrook Medical Care Facility in Bel Air, Michigan, we believe they choose us, and they have good reason to. In 2017, Scout escaped from the Antrim County's animal shelter three times. Each time he escaped the shelter, he was found asleep on the couch in the front lobby of the Meadowbrook Medical Care Facility. After the third time, employee decided to adopt him. I'm a person who looks at outward signs, said Marna Robinson, Meadowbrook administrator. He did at that one time, two times, three times. And obviously, that's something that you should pay attention to. And I asked the staff, well, he wants to be here. Would anybody like to have a dog? The residents loved him right from the start. Scout walks the halls freely and has even learned to open doors on his own. He knows all the residents. He knows who belongs, who doesn't belong, and protects the household, explained Jenny Matterick, Meadowbrook household coordinator. And he knows when people are sick or not doing well, and he will go in and lay with them and give them a comfort, said at Stephanie Isley, clinical care coordinator at Meadowbrook. Scout's origins remain shrouded in mystery, except for the fact that he came from an abusive household and arrived scared. But why he has chosen Meadowbrook Medical Center facility, it was always remained a mystery. He certainly has a penchant for the elders, Robertson said. If they have dementia, or if they're dying, he knows that. And he will go down, and be with them and comfort them. He must have just felt like he needed to be there. Isn't that beautiful?
It really is.
I mean, who knows if a dog can read? And I know our dog that showed up on our porch one day adopted us, and that's the truth. He clearly moved in like, I'm happy, I'm here. I'm here to stay. It's been 17 years ago, so I guess he made his wish. So,
slide share. Well, he's had a nice long life, hasn't he?
He really has. He's had a hard life, though, won't you know?
Oh, I can't imagine being with you.
Everybody knows how mean I am.
Yeah. Anyway, I think we're out of time. So, we're heading into the weekend. We will be back on Monday. So, until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.